Chair Champions.
We are the best at sitting in a comfy chair and telling the entire sports world what they should have done and what they should be doing later. Putting it simply, all right, everybody, welcome to Armchair Champions. And that song, I don't know, I feel like it never gets old, especially after you win a game. It just feels awesome. So, again, we've got Evan in the studio again. Alex has got a lot of homework, so.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah,
that'll
do it will.
In college.
We're all college students, so we got a lot on our plate. But we've still got sports, and it is our lifeline to sanity.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got a lot of it. There's a lot of exciting things. NFL and college football are really going in full swing. We're getting into the nitty-gritty stuff just right in the middle of the season. So much fun.
It's pretty much the one thing that keeps me going, especially last year of school, senioritis. This is the one thing that this will get me up for. So,
yeah, definitely. So, basically, what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk some Utah State football. We're going to talk about some impressions of the team, because especially what we're going to do this week is we get to look into different teams. We're seeing a lot of trends, because week one, you can't really make any definite statements. But now we're getting more into the swing of things. We still don't get the whole picture on what teams are made of, because we're only in week two or week three, depending on NFL college football. But we can have some general impressions. We'll be talking about those today. We're going to preview the game against Air Force, the homecoming game. I'm super excited for that. We're going to get into critical condition. We've got three patients we're going to talk about today. And then we're going to go more into the NFL, talk about the NFC, some of the new quarterbacks. Then we're going to finish it off with some college football. But first, there's a couple of things we wanted to hit on. Evan, you want to talk about this. The NL wildcard race is actually coming down to pretty close.
Yeah, a little over about 11 games left in the season to go. And for the wild card game, we've got about a three-team tie. St. Louis lost the most recent game, so they're down a half a game. But all things considered together, it's the first three-way tie for a playoff spot in – it could be the first ever for Major League Baseball. And so this is exciting. I mean, we've got the Giants hoping to salvage what has been kind of a disappointing second half to the year, to say the least.
Yeah, disappointing might be a bit of an understatement.
Yeah, historically, epically disappointing. The Mets, you know, they're stuck in a division with a really great Nationals team, so I think they're pretty good. It's just the Nationals happen to be better. And then St. Louis, you know, not really great at home. One of the kind of the worst teams, at least for a team that's still in contention. But it's getting exciting because to see that there's real, you know, kind of coming down to the wire for a wild card spot. Even Miami still conceivably could make it. But
yeah, it seems like it's a three-team race right now.
Yeah, and I believe there would be extra games played to determine the one and two wild card spots. So. Just a really good shout out to the NL wildcard race. So,
yeah, that's certainly exciting. I'm not huge into baseball, but I can always understand a tight playoff race. And if you ask me who my favorite team in baseball is, I say the Giants, although I don't actively root for them. I don't have any Giants gear or anything like that. In fact, I wore a Dodgers shirt one time. I went to a Dodgers game. So I'm essentially a traitor to the Giants. But even seeing such a historic fall, when I go on ESPN and I see the headlines, Giants fall potentially historic, it's just like, come on, man.
Yeah.
And of course, they've won more championships than the rest of my teams that I root for combined, and they're the team I root for the least.
Yeah.
It's kind of pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, and then, like I was mentioned earlier, St. Louis and their home record, I was kind of trying to compare what their home record was to other teams, and it was like similar to the Phillies, you know, and other teams that are not even so good for St. Louis that they have a fantastic road.
Yeah, that record. Road record though, it's a lot better than other people's. They won like 47 games on the road.
Yeah, they're great on the road, terrible at home, which is strange.
That's got to be really frustrating. You see that sometimes. I think,
especially if you're a season ticket holder, that has to be.
I feel like the Denver Nuggets were like that one time. There's some team in the NBA that was like that. They had a much better road record than home record. There was some team. I can't remember. It was years ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's. There's another couple items. There's the USA Hockey. Yep. They're playing in the. So World Championships, World Cup.
Yeah,
World Cup?
Okay. They revived the World Cup. They actually were playing. They couldn't make it out of the preliminary round, and so kind of everybody at USA Hockey has been scratching their heads because, you know, usually USA, a medal contender, I would say, even in their worst year, should be a medal contender. But the last couple of years, though, they've been really struggling. You go back to the 2014 Winter Olympic Games in Sochi and. Fourth place finish, no medal for them. They come here, they're expected to do really well. USA, in at least in the World Cup of Hockey, has historically done really well. And then this year, not even making it out of the sort of the preliminary round after losing to Canada. So, it's kind of a head scratcher as what to do to kind of bring them back. But
Yeah, definitely frustrating to see the USA team not doing well. Obviously, we're all Americans, and so we all come together for those things when we see the Olympics and obviously the World Cup in hockey now as well as soccer and things like that. But I do think that to a lesser degree than perhaps soccer, USA is behind other countries as far as hockey. Canada is basically the king of hockey.
Yeah.
The way you might say Europe is the king of soccer with Brazil and Argentina and maybe even Chile kind of in there as well.
Yeah, I guess it's just kind of the past few years have been, at least for people who watch a lot this team, just kind of frustrating because, I mean, we're not, you know, Canada – obviously undisputed as the, you know, the sort of mecca of hockey. But I don't think that we've ever gone to a tournament or an Olympics, at least when I've watched, that I've thought that they had no shot at all. I mean, there's some countries that you know probably aren't going to do it. But
We're definitely up there in the top three as far as hockey. Yeah. I mean, the premier hockey league as far as professional hockey is in the United States with obviously some teams in Canada. But it's North American. It's a North American sport for the most part.
Plus, there's more Americans playing in the NHL than ever before, and more Americans going in the early rounds of the draft than there has been. So maybe it'll take time to sort of trickle in that level of talent, but who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. Soccer is growing for the United States. Maybe hockey will as well. Although, speaking of hockey, the Utah State hockey team is having their home opener on Friday. It's at the George S. Eccles Ice Center, 7 p.m. on Friday. And everyone should totally show up. They're playing UNLV. And I'm covering hockey this year for the Statesman, so I've got a bit of an interest. And there will be an interview that I'll be doing probably tomorrow, day this podcast goes up, with some of the players and coaches.
Yeah, they get a good crowd to those games. I've been to a few before. Love going to them. They get a great crowd. Usually a pretty good team.
They've been pretty successful. All right, so shifting gears from Utah State hockey to Utah State football, and we're going to talk some general impressions we've had about the team. We've gotten three games out of them. One game against a cupcake team, one against a very tough opponent, and then one game against a sort of cupcake. Slightly better than cupcake.
A little bit higher than
cupcake. they're higher up on the scale of difficulty. But, Evan, what have been your impressions of the team thus far into the season?
The part of me wants, because I'm coming into this season, just kind of, even just a quick glance over the recruiting they've done, the team they're assembling, I thought, you know, they can do pretty well. I still think they can do well. Obviously, there's some questions about, I think it was the offensive line with guys not coming back. I think that was what it...
I think it was the defensive line. It was mainly the front seven of the defense. The offensive line has like three returning starters.
Okay, yeah. So it was the defensive line. Other than that, I think with the Weber State and Arkansas State games, kind of, I don't want to say an unrealistic game because, you know, they still went out there and did well. And then the USC game was just, you know, that was hard to watch. But
Yes, it was.
So I think as they're heading in now to Air Force and getting into more conference play, I think there's still some big question marks about kind of what their real ability is. I mean, I get it. They lost badly to USC, but that's USC. So I just think, for me, there's still a big question mark about conference play.
So. Yeah, and I do think this Air Force game will be really telling as far as where their ability is. And obviously, as we get further and further into the conference schedule, we'll learn what they're made of. And my general impressions are that this team is much stronger running the ball than they are passing. As much as we like to think that Kent Myers is a great quarterback, he doesn't pass the eyeball test for me, in my opinion. He's not bad. Yeah. He completes good throws and is able to do enough to not lose a game. But as of yet, I'm not seeing as much of a quarterback who can take over the game through throwing the ball. Because they haven't thrown a lot of passes. They don't throw the ball aggressively. The playbook's pretty simple. They've got some talent in the wide receivers, but like the only time they threw the ball deep was a couple of predetermined lobs to Jaron Colston Green, who's a speedster. He's ridiculously fast. But other than that, there hasn't been a whole lot of aggressive throwing the ball.
Is that because they've got Devontae Mays, who is
pretty reliable? That probably has a lot to do with it. And I think that's one of the reasons why Kent Myers hasn't thrown a whole lot of interceptions, because he's thrown a lot of bubble screens, short passes. And there's a way you can work with throwing short passes and be able to be effective. Just watch Jimmy Garoppolo through the first 2 weeks. You can see how the Patriots played conservatively, yet were able to do stuff through the air. I think that's one of the reasons, because Utah State's offense is more akin to a high school offense than a pro style, just from general observation. Another thing is, I noticed this against Arkansas State. They need Devontae Mays to run the ball between the tackles, I should say, because Tony Lindsay's stats, they're higher than I thought they would be. He ran for almost 100 yards, had, what, two touchdowns in that game? But for his life, he could not run the ball in between the two tackles. And if he was, it was because he's going off the tackle's left hip, left or right hip, and then cutting outside. When he ran the ball inside, it was 1-2 yards maybe. And it's because he's an outside runner. He's that elusive speedster. He does a lot of cuts, as opposed to Devontae Mays, who he's a little more elusive than most downhill runners and power backs, but he's still a power back in most senses of the words. And so he'll hit those A and B gaps hard, and he can run the ball in between the tackles effectively. Tony Lindsay can't. And I don't think Lawan Hunt can't either. So they're going to need Devontae Mays if they want to have a more balanced rushing offense. Because if you can't run the ball in between the tackles, your run game is not nearly as effective as it could be. Even though he did run for 98 yards. It had a decent statistical game, and the Aggies moved the ball well on the ground.
Yeah, but I can also see more pressure on Devontae Mays if this trend keeps up. I guess that's the big question mark on offense, maybe.
And you do wonder if it's the fault of Tony Lindsay or if it's the interior offensive line, because obviously nobody can run the ball in between the tackles if their interior offensive line isn't good. It doesn't matter who you are, because otherwise you'll end up bouncing to the outside anyway because there's no room, a la Barry Sanders. So that's certainly something interesting that you can keep an eye on, how well the Aggies can run the ball inside when they get Devontae Mays back, which they should have him back for Air Force, because I don't think his injury was very severe. But let's look at that Air Force game. So I'm looking at the Air Force homepage right now. They're 2-0. Their first win was against He's the Abilene Christian Wildcats.
Okay. From down in Texas?
Yeah.
Abilene?
I think that's where Abilene is. Did you say Abilene or Abilene? I don't know how to pronounce
it. I said Abilene.
Yeah.
That's the only way I've ever heard it. So if we're mispronouncing it, it's...
Maybe I just heard you wrong. Yeah, that's how I've heard it. They won 37-21.
Okay.
In their second game, they won 48-14 against Georgia State.
Okay.
Fun thing there, Georgia State quarterback has the last name of Manning.
Oh.
I don't think there's any relation, though.
Or really, is there? Probably not any semblance of...
Oh, he's from Lake Forest, California.
Oh, okay.
Connor Manning. I feel like I've heard that name before. But I think all the Manning clan are done now.
Yeah, there was like the third brother.
Yeah, but he got injured or something.
Yeah,
I've
never seen him.
Yeah, he was supposedly really good, and it was injuries, which is a real shame, and I don't mean that sarcastically at all.
Yeah.
To see a guy...
Especially for a whole family.
Yeah.
Pretty much
when you look at his
amazing.
Older brothers.
Yeah.
You have a Hall of Famer in Peyton Manning. I can't remember if Archie Manning was a Hall of Famer or not.
I feel like he
could have been, but he might not have been. Yeah. I mean, he was the Saints' first good quarterback. Might have even been their first good player.
And then, you know, you've got Eli with
Yeah, and Eli's
his own
no slouch either.
You know.
So no disrespect to Manning, although I will say Eli Manning's not an elite quarterback. But that's a debate for another day.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of looking at with the Air Force game coming up, knowing that their first two games I don't think were a real test for them at all.
Nope, I've hardly heard of either of those colleges.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot more sense now looking at the matchup predictor that they've got on ESPN where it's 52-ish for Air Force and around 48 for USU. However, again, you know, Air Force as a football school, they're no joke. I mean, they're, you know, at least within the Mountain West.
Yeah, they're definitely good.
And I guess it's hard to tell. I mean, I'm looking at some of the team stats, but then it's hard to tell when your first two games were kind of easy wins. You know, it's hard to, like, me to compare the two stats because I think I would be more worried if Air Force had played, I guess, a similar schedule coming into this than as we did, just because they've more points per game, fewer points allowed per game. But no, I feel a little bit more confident knowing that they didn't have much of a test before this, but I don't know.
Yeah, and really the only thing you can gather from their first two games are their tendencies, which are about the same as always. They run the ball like heck, and they hardly ever throw the ball. Their starting quarterback, I believe, Nate Romney. Is he the Romney or Romney? There's an I in between the M and the N in his name.
Romin?
So,
wouldn't be Romin.
It could be Romin. That's probably what it is. That actually sounds a lot better. So I apologize to Nate that I can't pronounce your name.
Or you could be right.
Romney. It's because I know who Mitt Romney is, so I think anything similar to that is Romney. But he's completed 8 of his 19 passes.
Yeah.
That's a bad game for a game. He's two games into his season.
Well, especially because those were two high-scoring games
that
they've come out of. And it just doesn't look like a good matchup against Kent Myers, who, you know, has way more yards and... just better, you know, obviously a lot more completions.
Yeah. Now, so his 8 completions. 4, because I'm looking at the receiving stats. I apologize. My voice is really dry, so I'm going to cough a lot. I'm just talking too much, and I'm chugging the Gatorade. But, so 4 of those, the... 4 longs for these receivers, 32, 62, 41, and 62. So there's big play potential. I mean, you do consider that those were against crappy teams, but still it's possible to have big gains, especially if you don't see it coming. And all of a sudden, instead of doing a triple option run, they do a triple option pass. Oh, holy crap, the wide receiver's wide open.
True.
You got to watch out for that.
Yeah, but I mean, but still, I mean, that just seems like, still an incredibly low number. I mean, those two games should have been resume padders for him. I mean, that should have been like, get your averages like sky high now and then just coast on the rest of the season.
I don't think the secondary for Utah State is quaking in their boots over Nate Roma and his wide receivers. The matchup that we're going to see, this is actually a general impression I didn't quite mention, is I feel like the front seven for the defense for Utah State has been more impressive than some of us expected. They really were holding Arkansas State to not very good, you know, rushing attack. They were doing all their damage through the air, which is a good combination for playing Air Force. That was a weird way I said that. Air Force. I can't even replicate how I just said that.
We'll play it back.
You can rewind and see how I said it.
Yeah, that is a very fortunate combination, especially if clearly they have relied so much on their running game.
Yeah. And
hopefully it's, it continues to meld the front line for the defense even more.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be quite the test. And it's the keys for the game for Utah State. It's going to be, obviously, stopping the run. Because what's going to happen if they don't stop the run is the defense is going to be on the field for a long time because that's just the way it is with these ground-and-pound teams. They're literally going to ground and pound your defense into the ground. And even if Utah State comes out and scores really quickly back, that defense goes back on the field again after 2 minutes. They're tired as heck still.
And it can be a long quarter, depending on how just stop and start that run is. But I would say, though, speaking of the running game, I do think we've got a good I do think we have the better running back in this situation.
Yeah, definitely. Devonta Mays is really good.
Yeah, their guy Owens, 19 carries, only 177 yards versus the 232 yards. You know, it's not astronomically more, but it is Devonta Mays has three touchdowns rushing, and then Owens only has one. So, I mean,
though, keeping in mind that 208 of those yards came in one game.
Yeah, true.
For Devonta Mays. The thing is that Air Force's rushing statistics are really spread out between Jacoby Owens, DJ Johnson, Nate Romine, the quarterback, and then Shane DeVern, however you say that. All of them have over 100 yards rushing. All of them, except Jacoby Owens, have at least 20 carries, and Owens has 19 carries. So
that could potentially be a thing if they have more, or they seem to have more
options.
Yeah,
they spread their runs out a lot, and their overall average for the team is 5.7 yards per carry. Well, Jacoby Owens is vastly larger than the other three-man rushers. He's at 9.3. The others are, you know, 3, 4. Nate Romine's almost 5. But even with that, I do think you're right in saying Devonta Mays is the better running
back.
There's definitely no question about that. It's just going to depend on Utah State being disciplined against what is likely going to be a four-person running attack.
Yeah, I think that's where, I guess once you brought that up, I really started thinking about, well, that could be a problem if they're focusing on our best option and then they have
at
least four solid options. You know?
Yeah, because like you said, Jacoby Owens by himself isn't going to be a threat. It's everybody. So you're right. Yeah. So you think Utah State pulls this one out? I say they are. I think they're going to win. I think we're the better team. It just depends if we show it or not.
I think we can win. I think we can win. I mean, if you look at the Abilene Christian game, you know, that's still letting 21 points to that team. But anyway, not to just focus on that, but I think they'll win. USU will win, but it will be a squeaker either way.
Yeah.
I can't see this being a blowout, even by a couple of scores. I think it's going to be a one-score game, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I would definitely agree with that. It'll be close. So it'll be the first really exciting game for Utah State.
Yeah, I think this is where we will begin to see, at least conference championship-wise, what we can do. I think this is the first hint that either we know we can make a run for it, or it might be a more difficult season. But yeah,
definitely, and I agree. So now we're going to roll into critical condition. This is where, in addition to being armchair champions, we are armchair doctors.
And without degrees, but this is 1800s doctor, so you don't need it.
Yeah. Quack medicine.
Snake oil.
Leeches. Leeches will help that blood problem you have.
That's going to be my solution to all of our critical conditions. Just leeches.
You know? Leeches. So today we're going to be a little more quick hit than we usually are. Normally we've been doing one. We're going to do three today. Two of them are NFL quarterbacks. One is a college team. And we're going to get even more official. We're going to be using more medical terms because, after all, we've got to be a little more credible, even with leeches.
Yeah.
So the different conditions we've got undetermined, good, fair, serious, critical, terminal, or just flat out dead.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope nobody we bring in is dead because that's just sad.
If you have to come see us, though, I think usually you're
on. Yeah, most of the patients here are not in good shape, especially the ones we've been bringing in lately. But let's bring in today's first patient. That's Colin Kaepernick. So Kaepernick was brought into the Armchair Champions emergency room over the weekend. His family and friends are concerned about his career. Cap hasn't started a game since last season. He has clearly lost the quarterback battle to Blaine Gabbert. And his chances of winning it back don't look that good. Colin has maintained relevance through his protest, but his career prospects are in question.
Dizziness, fatigue, seeing spots.
Yeah.
It's not good.
He's seeing good. Blaine Gabbert everywhere. And pig policemen.
I think this is worse than, I think this is on the worse end, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think his protest, I think, extended his career. I mean, just because I think as a PR move, I don't think the 49ers would want to fire someone at, it would just be bad timing for them, but maybe that's not totally their thinking, but I just think for a guy who's so vocal, not just with the protest, but like he's been vocal throughout his career, it just hasn't been that stellar with the 49ers. I don't think it's been that great. And, you know, he obviously doesn't have the starting position, and I just get the impression that he's on his way out. So I would say what are our levels?
So we've got, so you're saying on the farther, we've got serious, you'd say the vital signs may be unstable, not within normal limits. Patient is seriously ill, and the indicators are questionable.
I think the seriously ill.
Okay, seriously ill, and then there's critical, where the vital signs are clearly unstable, and the patient and indicators are unfavorable.
Actually, I'm going to go with critical.
Yeah.
Because I just don't see a way out of it, to be honest with you. I just don't see anything that'll be his comeback. You
know? Yeah, and I agree with that. I do believe that the condition is definitely critical. And the diagnosis for me is a lack of intangibles, because he was the next big thing at one point. It was him and Russell Wilson with the read option and also RG3. The read option was the big thing back when all M's was...
Youngins.
Yeah, the youngins. You know, Andrew Luck threw in that too. Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck are the only two who have made out of that alive. Why did Russell Wilson not get through? One, he got hurt. Two, he didn't have the intangibles. He wasn't a leader. People didn't like him. Same thing with Colin Kaepernick. Both him and RG3 weren't able to adapt. Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, they adapted. They were able to be pocket passers in addition to being the sensational read option. That wasn't their only thing. Because Colin Kaepernick, once they figured out the read option, couldn't throw. He's not good enough. And he didn't work hard enough to improve. That's one thing. You can't just rely on your talent and then ride it through your career. Yeah. One of the biggest things about Tom Brady and also Peyton Manning is they worked their butts off to get better.
True.
Tom Brady's still working his tail off to get better.
And they built those teams to facilitate those quarterbacks.
Yeah,
and I think that's the thing when you look at someone like Russell Wilson. They had great established players already. But so I think for the really great ones, they mold their team around them.
Yeah.
I think it's clear when that is the case.
Yeah, and a lot of things got to go right. But for Colin Kaepernick, a lack of intangibles, and we believe he's in really critical condition.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if anybody is going to pick him, because he's on the trade block, allegedly. But honestly, who's going to trade for Colin Kaepernick? Because the moment you do, or even if they cut him and he gets signed, you're going to have the biggest press conference you ever saw. And I remember when Tim Tebow signed with the Patriots, and I watched that press conference, and holy crap.
Well, it's just like, because the big question at that press conference would be why, you know?
And they'll talk all the time, what are you going to do about him sitting for the national anthem? It's like, dude, sign him to be a quarterback.
It's a PR nightmare, and plus it's like, how's he going to fit in? You know, I mean.
And you wonder, he's shown that he's not necessarily a leader, and people can change. Michael Vick came back and was.
Yeah.
He was a good person. He was able to revive his career until his body broke down. And maybe
that's why
we're
not declaring him dead totally, because.
He'll get another chance somewhere, I feel, but we say critical because neither of us really think that that's going to go well.
And his comeback won't be with a playoff contention team, I don't think. No,
definitely not. All right, so let's excuse me. Dang, I am way out of sorts. I just recovered from being sick, so.
Good thing we're in the presence of doctors.
Yes. What's my diagnosis? I have a cold.
I think you'll make it.
I'm dying. It's terminal. I'm going to die.
Leeches. Put on the leeches, leeches quickly.
Leeches all over my face.
So who we got next?
We have another NFL quarterback, Jay Cutler. So Jay Cutler injured his thumb against the Eagles on Monday Night Football, and they lost to the Eagles on Monday Night Football. And after being attended to, the team took him to be evaluated by Armchair Champions doctors. Cutler's career with the Bears has been marked with inconsistency and disappointment. Cutler has yet to throw for 4,000 yards or 30 touchdowns, which are high marks, but they're marks that have been surpassed by quarterbacks with similar payrolls as Cutler. Cutler is sure to come back and look to finish his contract, which runs through the end of 2020, but Bears fans seem to be sick of him.
Yeah. Not just Bears fans, but you look at Stephen A. Smith on ESPN.
I don't listen to Stephen A. Smith.
Okay, well, I mean, he called him the worst quarterback in the NFL. And I don't know if that's totally the case.
That's debatable, but he's not that far off point.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know what it is. Maybe I think a part of it, I don't know what it is with the Bears and just never getting a fantastic quarterback. I don't know what the, you know, it's like, so he's coming in a long line of a team that just, an organization that just does not make fantastic quarterbacks. Great defenses, some when they're really good, they've got great defenses. They've had great other pieces, but not quarterbacks. So.
Yeah. They didn't make a Super Bowl, even though they had Rex Grossman, I think, at the time. And what has Rex Grossman done?
Well, then it's like when they won the Super Bowl, McMahon. I mean, he had a few good seasons, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not Jim like McMahon wasn't a world beater.
Yeah. But, yeah, for Jay Cutler, though, it's just a train wreck. I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
They're just not going anywhere, you know? It's time to cut it loose and to have a contract that goes till 2020.
And that is the thing. When I remember that Jay Cutler had signed a giant contract, and it's even worse than the Joe Flacco contract, which both are inexplicable in why they would sign them slightly above average quarterbacks.
They got to get out of that contract, in my opinion.
And so the Bears are going to be paying Jay Cutler nearly $20 million in 2020, that last contract year. Jay Cutler would be 37 that day. Tom Brady's about 37 right now, or 39 or something. He's upper 30s. Yeah. He's basically going to be Tom Brady's age now, and he's playing terrible football. What makes you think he's going to be playing anywhere near where he's at 5 years from now?
Well, yeah, because the age – not only plus his current woes, but the age factor comes in. I mean, I just think if you haven't broken in by now and you're in your mid-ish 30s.
Yeah, he's about 33, 34 right
now.
Yeah,
I just think potentially you've had almost, you know, guys come in about, like, what, 22 or something? Or,
yeah, he's
– and they'll play,
he's
like
got
back
about 10
up.
Or 11 series.
Yeah, but,
seasons.
Yeah, so it's like you've had a decade and you haven't broken out yet. Yeah. I just think
he's not getting any better,
and it's not going to get any. I just can't see how you can get, you know, approach 40 and somehow have a phenom rookie type season. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it doesn't happen because guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, who defied age by putting up enormous numbers in their late 30s, they were that way their whole career.
Yeah,
and Jake, you know, like you said, Jay Cutler's not going to suddenly throw for 4,000 yards. And be really good, he might throw for 4,000 yards if he's lucky. He hasn't done it yet. He's only been on pace to do it. He did it with the Denver Broncos. He threw for 42, 4,500 yards. Yeah. With the Bears, he's only been on pace maybe once or twice, but he missed games.
Yeah.
And that's another thing is he misses games a lot. And what, he sprained his thumb, I believe, was what he did.
And you're only going to get more injury prone the older you get playing such a physical game.
So for me, the diagnosis, really right now, it's you've got an overeager GM. Paid him over $100 million for Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
I blame the GM as much as I blame Jay Cutler for this. The other is that...
Because that's decades of terrible quarterback deals.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So,
anyway.
Diagnosis, you got an over-eager GM and Jay Cutler just isn't that good. I would say the condition, I'd put him at serious, heading towards critical, possibly even terminal. It's rough because I don't see this getting any better. I don't see it as bad as the Colin Kaepernick because Jay Cutler's still got some years of starting ahead of him. But it's not like they're going to be pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say I wouldn't quite put it at terminal. I would say also for this one critical because I think if you look at the Bears organization, bigger than just a few seasons, they'll at least – I mean, they go through waves, but I think they'll at least eventually put together a good defense. They'll get a good running back. They'll get good, they'll get good extra pieces. I've never worried about them doing that, but I just say it's critical because they've never had a good track record with quarterbacks. But I think they need to get out of the contract. So
yeah, they really do need to get out of that contract somehow. So. I don't see Jay Cutler doing it because he ain't getting that money somewhere else.
Yeah,
if I were him, I'd sit on that contract. All right, so the next one, we're going to head to college football like we said. We've got a team this time. It's Florida State football. So following the drumming that Florida State took at the hands of Lamar Jackson in Louisville, they were rushed to the armchair champion's emergency room. Florida State came into the season as playoff contenders but now reeling with their playoff hopes in question. Florida State fell all the way to number 13 in the AP poll. So, diagnosis. I would say it's just preseason overhype. Perhaps just a bad day, you might even say, because those happen.
Yeah.
Because I'm always critical of the preseason polls. I think I've complained almost every single one of my shows. When top 25 teams go down, I blame the fact that the AP top 25 polls aren't as good as they should be. I don't even think they should come out with polls until week 4 or 5. But even so, these days just happen. And so, while I think Florida State probably isn't as good as we thought they were, they still are a good team. Lamar Jackson's an amazing player. So, I don't think it's as bad as Jay Cutler or Colin Kaepernick, but their playoff hopes aren't looking very good. I'll just say that.
Okay. I'm probably going to take it... I'll give the prediction for, or at least their playoff hopes, terminal, because they played against a Louisville team. Granted, I mean it was at Louisville, but 63-20 against a team that was at least, a team that was at least talked about, and you look through the rest of their schedule, and I don't know, it's not. I mean, they will play Clemson, which will be a great game.
They've also got Miami.
Yeah,
so that's Miami. The thing is,
it's a couple of good games, but I just think you went to Louisville, which is maybe not a playoff team, but
they're in the position right now.
Definitely,
but that's yet to be determined. We're only in week 3.
Yeah, I mean, definitely not scrubs, obviously. And I just think that kind of pounding against a team of that caliber, and then. I mean, yeah, they do have Miami and Clemson, but I don't know. I think the playoff hopes are terminal. So.
Yeah, and I might not go that far, mainly for the sake that they do have two ranked teams on their as of right now, rankings. They've got – actually, I just noticed another one. They've got Miami. They're playing at Miami on the 8th of October. They're ranked 15th right now. You've got Clemson at home. They're number 5, and then they're ending the season at Florida, who at the moment is 19th. So they could salvage. They'd have to win out. That's out of the question. They'd have to win out.
And then I just don't know if they're going to beat Clemson. I think they will lose to Clemson, and that's what will do it. But
yeah. So I'm gonna say serious. I'm tempted to put critical. I'm gonna put serious because I like to believe in teams. Although I will say the indications don't seem very favorable as far as their ability to come back from this loss. Because even if they do win out, and if Louisville and Florida State are the guys in the conversation, you know what game they're going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, because before the season started, when I was on over on the other podcast I do, we were talking about teams to make the playoff. And initially I had great hope for Florida State. I thought they'll make it. But I said back then that they had to go through Clemson to make it, obviously. But
they still do, kind of.
They still do, but I just think tripping up against Louisville, I think they started to show that they were kind of teetering a lot early on than I thought.
Yeah,
they were
gonna. Their defense isn't necessarily capable of helping out the offense, because obviously we say defense wins championships, and in college football you need good defense.
But geez, 63 points though.
Yeah, that's no defense.
Yeah. So
I mean, Weber State held Utah State to 45 points. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
You're ranked what? Number 3? Were they ranked number 3 or 4?
I thought they were Florida State.
Yeah.
I thought they were 4.
Yeah.
I don't think they were 3. But
they were top 5.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on. Those are our patients. Good luck, Colin Kaepernick, Jay Cutler, and Florida State. We hope that you will recover, but for the most part, we don't think you will. So, leeches.
Leeches. That is our answer.
So, let's move on. So, I watched, or I guess followed. I didn't watch a whole lot of football over the weekend because I don't really have TV. But the NFL, there's a trend that I'm noticing. When we're coming into the NFL season, I was really high as far as the NFC, the top of the NFC. I felt it was really crowded. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of good teams. You had the Panthers, the Packers, the Cardinals, the Seahawks. Sorry to say the Seahawks. There were 4 teams up at the top. You could even throw in the Vikings. There were some throwing in the Vikings. I wasn't really high on the Vikings even before Teddy Bridgewater. Although I'm more high on the Vikings now after their impressive.
Yeah, and so barring the in the AFC the Patriots and Broncos, it was like somebody was winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was the AFC. It was the Patriots were the clear favorites. Yeah, maybe the Broncos and the Steelers kind of on the outside looking in, but the Patriots were the clear favorite. But now I look at the NFC and I say, well, dang, what happened?
Yeah.
Just looking, so the first week.
That was a quick fall, though, too.
Yeah. The Seahawks and the Packers, week one, they both have underwhelming performances. And we talked about this last week, how we were pretty impressed by the Jaguars there. Mm-hmm. They came in, they played the Packers really well. Of course, the Jaguars, they went and got themselves drubbed by San Diego. So that win doesn't look as impressive for the Packers. But then the Packers go and lose to the Vikings, which that's not the worst loss. The thing is that Aaron Rodgers, people are really beginning to point this out, and he's beginning to take heat for it. He just hasn't seemed to be the same these past couple of seasons. Like, last season, it was his first season under a 100 passer rating since his first year as a starter, which, granted, that's a really harsh standard to hold somebody to throw for over 100 or have a...
But he had some dominant performances, though, for there for a while. I mean, it was...
Yeah, he was.
They owned the NFC North for many years.
And he was usually the best quarterback or one of the best. It was usually him and Tom Brady. And usually, because Tom Brady was not putting up his gaudy stats, people were usually going with Aaron Rodgers. Hmm. But last season, he completed 60% of his passes. His career average is 65%. This season, he's completed 57% through 2 games. And in today's NFL, 57% is not very good. If you want to be an elite quarterback, you're completing basically what his career average is, 65%.
Yeah, and also going against in week 2 against a division rival that was supposed to be good, and I think they are still pretty good, but they had a quarterback in Sam Bradford coming in, had been with the team a couple weeks because of the Teddy Bridgewater injury. And I don't know, I mean, that was a big game that I think they should have won.
And, yeah, and Aaron Rodgers got outplayed by Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford.
Yeah. The guy who's basically joined a bust. The team after an injury at like last minute.
Yeah, a guy who's essentially a bust who, like you said, just barely joined the team, and Sam Bradford's not a bad quarterback. But he's not as good as Aaron Rodgers.
But he hadn't been really integrated into the team system in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so that makes it even worse, the fact that Sam Bradford was able to just step in, and maybe Sam Bradford's going to make a comeback.
Yeah.
But the Packers' offense last season, it was 23rd in yards. Through the bulk of Aaron Rodgers' career, his offense has been top 10. Mm-hmm. All but 1 year, and that was 2012, 2013, they were 13th. So they were still above average. This year it's 29th. Like I said, last year it was 23rd. So these last couple of seasons, people are beginning to notice there's something that seems off about Aaron Rodgers. I noticed one article that title said that you can tell Aaron Rodgers is playing scared. Mm. And I looked up another article before this, and it was talking about how there's something wrong with Aaron Rodgers. And you wonder, obviously he's not a bad quarterback because he's still completing.
But is he losing steam, I think?
You wonder.
You know, is it just like the machine is just getting a little more rusty as time goes on, at least in terms of the Packer machine?
Yeah. And he shouldn't be losing steam. He's 32.
Yeah.
Which is younger than I thought he would be. Yeah, he should be right about in his prime. Because you think Tom Brady, he's 39, and it feels like he's still in his prime.
Yeah. But now, you know, I think we started seeing glimpses of this, though, at the end of last year, where, you know, it came down to that final game against the Vikings for who was going to take the division. You know, and that didn't go the way they wanted either. And so I think kind of started to see a little bit, at least maybe it's just a bad little run here, but it goes back to the end of last year, in my opinion, you know? So.
Yeah. It's not like he's been losing offensive weapons. He just got, space his name, Jordy Nelson back. He's still got some offensive weapons. He's just not playing as well for whatever reason. And you really hope that he comes back, because I always don't like to see players just drop off.
Yeah.
Except for any Jets player.
But I do think he is looking at a tougher division than he's had to face with. Because, I mean, it's like, obviously, aside from the Vikings, Lions are kind of coming up a little bit. I don't think they're...
They're mediocre to slightly above average.
But, like,
best.
Compared to the, you know...
Yeah, compared to the early 2000s Lions.
The 0-16 little run there.
They're better than they used to be, definitely.
Yeah, and then unfortunately the Bears are just still the Bears.
The Bears are the Bears.
Yeah, so.
The Bears.
Yeah, so I mean he is dealing with a division that at least with two other teams is getting a little bit more competitive.
Yeah, and to give Aaron Rodgers a little credit against the Vikings do have a good defense.
Yeah, that is true.
But again, the trend is he ain't doing so hot. We could almost put him on critical condition, but I decided not to.
Yeah, maybe I don't think he's there yet.
Yeah, he's not critical condition. He's.
I think if it's not even close for the division or an early playoff exit, I think he would qualify. Yeah.
So the Packers are 1-1. Obviously, we're two games into the season, so these are still general impressions, mild observations that we're looking at. But that is Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, who are struggling. The other team that is struggling are the Seattle Seahawks, and they're in a worse position, in my opinion, than the Packers.
That one surprised me. And let me also just say on the side that the NFC and these teams that have been struggling pretty much ruined my pigskin pick'em this past week, because I had been doing pretty well until this weekend. But specifically getting back to the Seahawks, that was a terrible game by any stretch.
Zero offensive touchdowns. Well, zero touchdowns to begin with.
By any team. It was a field goal game, which that's just, I mean, for a team that should be as good as the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I think Russell Wilson, I still think, is a great, it's a pretty good quarterback, you know? I mean, I definitely wouldn't write him off, but that game was just, that was just awful.
Yeah, there's really few other words you want to use besides awful and its synonyms.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like they had a good first week. They scored 12 points against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
the Patriots put up 34 points against them with Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, yeah.
So the Seattle Seahawks, their offense has scored 15 total points this season. There's only one team that scored fewer points. You know who that is?
I have no clue.
The Rams. The team they just lost to. The Rams have scored 9 total points, which Jeez. Is because they got shut out week one. They have one offensive touchdown that was their comeback drive against the Dolphins to put them up 12-10. So the Seattle Seahawks offense Jeez. Has not been doing very well.
Yeah, that.
But the thing that I looked at, I did a little research into this, and I actually was writing a little article for a website, and I mentioned it. The Seattle Seahawks, one of the problems that I felt they had is their run game. They're ranked about 18th in the run, which is a little higher than I actually thought it was. They're averaging about 89 yards per game.
Yeah.
And I did some research to see the Seahawks offense in the past, because it's actually been pretty good. And I noticed that their run game was ranked top 5 in every year. So going back to the first 10-win season of the Pete Carroll era, it's about 2012.
Okay.
They've been top 5 running every season. Never lower than 4th, actually. And one year they were ranked first in yards. And in
which attempts. I think makes sense given who they've had.
Yeah, with Marshawn Lynch. Obviously, that was basically their running game was Marshawn Lynch. But now, through 2 games, they're ranked 18th, 89 yards per game, as opposed to, I did all the math for those, about 4 seasons, is about 150 yards per game. So you're doing about half.
Yeah.
A little over half of what you've been doing as far as having a good offense. And without that running game, Russell Wilson's been struggling. And I happened to look at the pass game for about that same period of time. Yeah. It fluctuates around in the 20s, which surprised me a little bit for how much people praise Russell Wilson. His passing offenses have been surprisingly mediocre. But he's gotten away with that because he's had a really great run game. And I usually compare Russell Wilson's early career to Tom Brady's early career in the sense that he got put onto a good team that just needed a good quarterback. Tom Brady got put on a team with the good quarterback and beat out the good quarterback and then turned it into a dynasty. But obviously Tom Brady had a good team around him already, and so he was able to flourish more so than a lot of other quarterbacks who are drafted number one, number two, number three, and get put on terrible teams. Like Jared Goff is about to do. He's about to be at the helm of that Rams team, and I feel sorry for him.
Welcome to L.A.
Welcome to the NFL. Not just L.A. But although he was at Cal, so he already knows California. So I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, so Russell Wilson, they're relying on him a lot more. His career average for number of pass attempts per game is about 27. So far, he's thrown about 39 passes per game. So a lot more than usual. And these are in low-scoring games. 3-9, 12-10, 39 passes a game.
Well, yeah, and then the 3-9 game, not a touchdown.
Yeah, no touchdowns. He's
not even a handoff touchdown either.
Yeah, he's got one passing touchdown, and again, that was against the Dolphins. He threw it to who? Doug Baldwin? Yeah, I can't remember exactly. And so really the solution, I would say, for the Seattle Seahawks, if I can talk, is they need to get their run game going. Thomas Rawls has played poorly. Christine Michael, I believe, is that how you say his name, or is it Christian?
Yeah, I was having trouble on this.
I feel like I heard somebody say Christine, but that sounds like too much of a girl's name.
Yeah.
So I'm hesitant. I'm sorry, Mr. Michael. I pronounced your name wrong probably at some point. But you are playing really well. I almost thought of picking you up on my fantasy team. Because Danny Woodhead got injured, and I had him on both my teams. And had Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
So, and learning today that he'll be out about 3 to 4 months.
He was just back.
He's just back. Although he'd been playing terrible the first 2 games, so thank you for helping me my first 2 games. But I always I can always hate seeing guys injured, no matter who they are. I wouldn't wish injuries on my least favorite Jets player.
Absolutely.
You never want to see a guy to get injured. And I always cringe when I hear people put guys like Greg Oden on a bust list, because I don't feel like guys whose careers were ended by injuries deserve the label of bust in any way, really.
Because sometimes that's just
It's not their fault.
Yeah, it's just poor misfortune.
If you're a bust, it's because you were bad. It's because you were Ryan Leaf or Andrea Bargnani. Or
you had stuff off the field that just
you Johnny Manziel.
Kept you from from being a great quarterback.
If you are bad because...
But it's like someone tackles you at the knee and your knee is shredded.
Yeah.
I mean, that's we'll never know.
Yeah, that's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's like Sean Livingston. It's not his fault that he didn't live up to after his crazy first year.
Well, plus coming back from an injury. Like, even if you do manage to come back from a terrible injury.
Yeah, you're not necessarily the same because his leg was destroyed.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we're going to move on. We're going to talk.
Picks were ruined. That's the lesson.
Yeah.
Pigskin Pick'em was ruined last week
I got 11.
By the NFC.
I got 11 of the games, right?
I don't think I got... Oh, well. Anyway.
So, moving on to the subject of quarterbacks. We're spending a lot of time on quarterbacks for some reason. There are four quarterbacks who have been introduced into the starting role. Jimmy Garoppolo, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, and Trevor Siemian. In no particular order. As far as how good they are, though, that's roughly the order a lot of people might put them in. Hmm. Well, probably not. So the debate here is, who do you think is the best of these new quarterbacks? Hmm. They have a combined record of 7-1. Three of them are 2-0. Obviously, that's the way it works. Dak Prescott's the only one who's recorded a loss. So who do you think is the best at this point?
From what I have seen in terms of not just their all-out talent, but their reliability, I would say Garoppolo. Because he came into a very good team, I mean, but that's not necessarily a cakewalk, because that team was built with Tom Brady in mind, you know, and those are big shoes to fill. So I think not only is he coming off and just having really great weeks, but he's coming off with a lot of expectations on him personally to carry a team at least through the suspension. And so I think he's earning a spot to continue. I mean, once Tom Brady's back, I'm sure Tom Brady will be starter. But the thing is, talent, really great. But for me, it really came down to what kind of expectations you are given coming into the game. And it doesn't get much more, in my opinion, doesn't get much harder than having to fill a role on the Patriots. So,
yeah, and I do think the debate comes down to Carson Wentz and Jimmy Garoppolo. And it's hard for me. I'm trying to make sure I overcome my bias of the Patriots and just say Jimmy Garoppolo because I like
That's
Jimmy
why
Garoppolo.
I'm here.
Yes, that is why you're here. And I'm glad that you agree. And a lot of people believe that Jimmy Garoppolo's better. And there's a lot of people that are focusing on Carson Wentz, and for good reason.
Yeah.
He has played pretty well. And it does come down some to matchups. I am going to cave and say Garoppolo, but for some reasons
that
I feel
But he's still
like,
there. Wentz is still in
there. And Wentz is there, and I do believe that Wentz will hopefully have a good career. We've seen good things out of him in the first 2 weeks, keeping in mind he has played the Browns and the Bears, but he's looked good on the field, passing that eyeball test. I listened to Steve Young earlier today, and he really liked Carson Wentz and how he was performing. Looking at him actually performing, not necessarily looking at stats, because his stats don't blow you away. But remember, you got to pass that eyeball test. Yeah. That watch him on the field, and you know he looks good.
Well, and plus, like with a quarterback, even a not fantastic quarterback could still their team could still be 2-0.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
I think that's the case with Trevor Siemian. Is that he's been pretty average, really below average, you might say. And I'd probably put him at average. He has like. He has a 1-3 touchdown interception, or no, 3-3 touchdown interception rating, I think. Crap. Stats fail. I'd have to look that up. He's thrown 3 interceptions, and I'm pretty sure he's thrown 3 touchdowns. But he's been pretty average. But with Jimmy Garoppolo, the fact that he played against the Cardinals, played a good game, was tearing it up against the Dolphins, 3 touchdown passes and a half. When I looked at his stats, had missed the first part of the game because I was sick, and so I slept until like 1. So I picked up my phone and looked at the stats, and it was third quarter, something like that. And I saw his stats, and I thought he was still in the game. And I thought those were stats for a quarterback who was in the third quarter, but he got knocked out in the second quarter. And he'd completed a lot of his passes for over 230 yards and 3 touchdowns. And so I do think that against better competition than Carson Wentz has faced, and without a lot of the weapons that you'd think Jimmy Garoppolo would have, doesn't have Rob Gronkowski. He's missing some of his offensive linemen. His offensive line isn't even that good to begin with. And he's performed really well.
So to even, yeah, so to even miss crucial pieces and still do that.
Yeah, it's not like he has Rob Gronkowski just, oh, I'm going to get sacked. Gronk, take it. He's completing a lot of his passes, and he's really defied my expectations. I've been really pleased, and I think he's performing. And right now,
like, what did you think of him before? Like, just thought he was going to be a like a placeholder.
Yeah, I thought
just kind of be there.
There were some questions. I follow a lot of, or at least one major Patriots blog, and there were people who were beginning to question whether Garoppolo would even be with the Patriots if he was even actually going to be the next guy. I think you were about to say this, if he was just a placeholder until the next backup quarterback. And I was hoping that he was. My impression was that he's a guy who's built for the Patriots system in a way, kind of a lesser Tom Brady, because he does a lot more short throws. He's a really quick release. He's not really a downfield thrower. Obviously, he's not Tom Brady, so he's just not, obviously not on that level. I don't think he'll ever be on that level. But after these couple games, I feel like his potential is higher than I thought it was. He's kind of that Pro Bowl. Like, I feel like that's his potential, is to be those Pro Bowl quarterbacks that is capable of winning a Super Bowl, won't necessarily do it. I think there's a number of quarterbacks on that list who during their primes could have won a Super Bowl but don't necessarily do it.
Yeah. Do you think he would have to leave New England to really – because, I mean, you know – do you think he would have to leave New England in order to really
If he leaves New England, I don't know how well he'll do. Because, again, with Bill Belichick, he'll really help you be a good player, and I think he really does fit this offensive system. And I think that's one of the reasons he's been successful, is because he fits really well in the system. If he goes somewhere else, I can't really say that he'll do good.
So he could be willing to just wait out
until
Tom Brady is
And I don't think he's going to have to wait much longer. He will be a little older than you'd like. He'll be in his mid to late 20s by the time Tom Brady retires, probably.
But I think that's getting into the prime.
Yeah.
For some quarterbacks, I think.
And so that is the one question, is if he's really getting up there, because that's one of the reasons they ditched Ryan Mallett, is because he's almost 30 now. So we'll see. I think Garoppolo is really trying to prove that, hey, I'm the guy who's going to come after Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So he's really playing with poise, and he's got a lot of the intangibles that you want.
It's almost poetic, given how Brady got his place, and now.
Yeah.
I mean, it may not necessarily be the exact same, but.
Garoppolo's got his audition, and he's using it well.
Yeah.
All right. So we're just about out of time. We're going to talk a little about the Heisman, but we've gone pretty long here, and so that'll have to wait. Don't get to talk about Lamar Jackson today.
Yeah.
But you get Lamar Jackson as the Heisman favorite. So we'll see how he keeps playing. He's got a couple of tests in his schedule. Clemson and
Houston. Which is the perfect opportunity, though.
Yeah, he gets plenty of opportunity to prove himself. But anyway, thanks again, guys, for listening. I'm Jason Walker. You can tweet me, or follow me even better, at TheJWalk67. That's at TheJWalk67. And Evan, you have a Twitter handle I can follow you at?
Yeah, Evan Hall, all lowercase, number 62 at Gmail. I mean, not Gmail, Twitter. That's the email. Don't send me email. I don't want to read emails. But Twitter, it's at Evan Hall 62.
All right. Thanks again for listening, and y'all have a great week.